reading from the first letter of Peter. You, however, are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a consecrated nation, a people he claims for his own to proclaim the glorious works of the one who called you from darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were no people, but now you are God's people. Once there was no mercy for you, but now you have found mercy. Beloved, you are strangers and in exile. Hence I urge you not to indulge your carnal desires. By their nature, they wage war on the soul. Though the pagans may slander you as troublemakers, conduct yourselves blamelessly among them. By observing your good works, they may give glory to God on the day of visitation. The word of the Lord. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. As Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a sizable crowd, there was a blind beggar, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, sitting by the roadside. On hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to call out, "Jesus, son of David, have pity on me." Many people were scolding him to make him keep quiet, but he shouted all the louder, "Son of David, have pity on me." Then Jesus stopped and said, "Call him over." So they called the blind man over, telling him as they did so, "You have nothing to fear from him whatsoever. Get up, he is calling you." He threw aside his cloak, jumped up and came to Jesus. Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Rabboni," the blind man said, "I want to see." Jesus said in reply, "Be on your way. Your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and started to follow him up the road. The Gospel of the Lord. Mark's Gospel paints a much darker vision of the response of Jesus' disciples to his message about his coming passion and death, a much darker picture than do the other Gospels. Yesterday we heard, for instance, that after hearing three times from Jesus that he was going to suffer and die, James and John, two of his closest disciples, still pressed him to have a place of honor in the kingdom that was coming. They failed, it seems, altogether to grasp what he was saying. Today, right after that reading, Mark uses the story of Bartimaeus to focus our attention on what coming to faith in Jesus really means. You have to remember that a little while before, Mark told us of another healing of a blind man at Bethsaida, a very strange story about how Jesus took spittle and made mud and put it on the man's eyes, and he still only saw partially. He saw men like walking sticks. And then Jesus did it again, and he saw clearly. This time, Jesus merely says, "Your faith has saved you," and he sees and he follows on the way. Between those two stories is where Mark tells us about Jesus relating to his disciples the nature of his upcoming passion and death. And the two blind men symbolize for us, in the first place, the only partial faith that the disciples like James and John had, and the fullness of faith that we, the readers of Mark, are to have. And two important things have to be noted. And number one is that the incompleteness of the completeness of Bartimaeus' healing, and number two, that Bartimaeus follows Jesus on the way to Jerusalem. He sees and he follows. Now, the first reading from Peter gives us a much lighter, if you will, vision of Christian discipleship. He points out that you, believers, are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a consecrated nation, a people God claims for his own. I believe that both readings tell us that every day of our lives, we, like the original readers of Mark's gospel, people under persecution, people facing the reality of the cross, we are called each day with them to balance in our lives these two visions, the darker one and the lighter one. We must always keep before our eyes the glory that is promised us, the glory of the risen life of Christ, a glory that we are initiated into in baptism, should live each day of our lives as we participate in the other sacraments of the Church, especially Eucharist. But we also are faced with our own weakness in faith, our readiness with the slightest difficulty to begin to question God's love for us. Called to live the balance between these two visions of reality, Peter offers us in the closing paragraph of today's reading, if you will, a third vision of reality, and that is the vision of exile, a vision in which we keep firmly in mind the hope we have, but live not as idle dreamers, rather living so that those who see our deeds will come to share the faith we have. That, I think, is Mark's message and Peter's message today. Live in the world in which we exist with full hope, living out that hope so as to bring others to the same hope.